In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In his homily on the Lord's Nativity, St. John Chrysostom begins by saying the following, I see a novel and strange mystery, mysterion xenon oro ke paradoxon. And it was taken on then as a very beautiful Greek hymn chanted in the Greek tradition. And when St. John Chrysostom was saying this, he was looking with the eyes of all of humanity at the manger scene. And he was saying how great and wonderful and strange is this mystery to see God born as an infant in a humble manger. But really this wonderful and strange mystery begins today, not just on the Feast of the Nativity in a couple of weeks, but already today when you look at the icon of the Holy Annunciation. The strange and novel idea that for the first time in history, the Lord announces very explicitly, not through prophecies and shadows and symbols, but very explicitly to humanity that he is coming to be born and take on our nature. The very strange and unlikely idea that he would do so from a virgin that will remain a virgin both before and after the birth. The very strange and unlikely idea that he would announce this through his holy angel Gabriel, that this powerful angel Gabriel would come into the Holy Virgin Mary and greet her with such respect and reverence. This is a general of heaven, if you want to think of it that way. This is a commander of the armies of heaven. And that all of this divine plan, the strangest of all of these mysteries, would depend on the acceptance, the willing obedience and humility of the Holy Virgin Mary. All of these are strange things. And so today we gather to think about these things, to meditate about the annunciation of the birth of our Savior from the Holy Virgin Mary. Throughout the history of humanity and in all of the different religions that humans thought of and developed in their different cultures, the idea of salvation was always there. Think, for example, of Homer's Odyssey. He spends the entire journey going around on a boat and he's looking for what? He's looking for salvation. He's looking for deliverance to find his way back home. This notion of that humanity was estranged from its homeland and it's finding its way back home is deeply embedded in our humanity. But no other religion, no philosophy, no human imagination or philosophy could imagine the idea that this return home, this salvation, would be accomplished in this particular way, that God would take on human nature, would be born and be with us. And that is the entire point of today's beautiful proclamation and annunciation of his birth to the Holy Virgin Mary. Of course, we meditate on this gospel several times a year. We were just meditating on it 2 weeks ago. And the reason then was because it was the 29th of any Coptic month where we celebrate the Annunciation, the Nativity, and the Resurrection. It's also one of the four Gospels, as you see, for the month of Kiyak, leading up to the Nativity. And it's also used for the Feast of the Annunciation itself, which is 29 Brahmat, often comes during Lent. We read the same exact Gospel. And also all the commemorations of Archangel Gabriel. Every time there's a commemoration of Archangel Gabriel in the calendar, we read the same exact Gospel because this was the central moment that we remember about Archangel Gabriel, that he brought the good news to the Holy Virgin Mary. And so today is less about God as judge or about God as almighty, God the Pantocrator, but revealing us that in God's ability to indeed rule over all, he chose to rule over all and order all our salvation in this particular manner as a loving father. As any of us parents, mothers and fathers, when we have a child who's been playing in the mud or something and trips and falls and is crying and just looks at us and extends their hand crying to us, and despite their dirtiness, despite the fact that they hurt themselves, we stoop down and we pick up this child with love and with care. That is what God is revealing to us today in this gospel, that the Lord will be born and come down to us to be with us. And the key name, of course, here is the Lord is Emmanuel, God with us. Not God with us. He didn't proclaim and say, I'm with you only in your best moments. I'm with you only when you are good. I am with you only when you are praying or when you are in church or when you are doing what I've commanded you, but I'm with you, period, unconditional. He's always with us. The trick, the question is, are we with him? Are we indeed following him and being with him as much as he is with us? But the central character, of course, of today's gospel is the Holy Virgin Mary herself. And it's really so much part of her identity that it's part of her name. We always call her the Holy Virgin Mary. So her virginity is central in our understanding of who she is and what she is before God. Virginity is often misunderstood. We praise in the praises of Kyak, and one of the refrains that we have in the hymns is, "The Father looked from heaven and found no one like you. He sent his only begotten Son who came and took flesh from you." It's as if the anonymous hymnographer who wrote that hymn is trying to paint a picture in which God himself is surprised, or as if God himself is looking and discovering something that he didn't know exist. Of course, that's not true. That is a figure of speech. But it's meant to communicate to us the elevated state of virginity of the Holy Virgin Mary. How much she was a virgin. But like I said, virginity is often misunderstood. I'll speak to you kind of clearly. We often think, especially as we grow up, that virginity is denying myself just a particular kind of pleasure, a particular kind of desire. And if I deny myself that one thing, I'm a virgin. I am dwelling in virginity. But today, we look at the Holy Virgin Mary and we see a person who not focused on what they were denying themselves, but focused on dedicating all aspects of their humanity to the Lord. Full dedication to the Lord, our Savior. That is what virginity is. That every aspect of my being, every aspect of my humanity, every aspect of my life is in full dedication and in exclusive dedication to the Lord, our God. That is why, for example, in the praises in Kyak, we're now 2 weeks past that already. We have two more weeks of that. And we sing in one of the songs and say, "My heart and my tongue glorify the Trinity." Why just my heart and my tongue? Why not my thoughts, my mind, my everything else? But it's meant to encompass all of these things. It's meant to mean that both on the inside, my heart, as well as on the outside, my actions, my words, everything that comes out of me, my tongue, I glorify the Holy Trinity. In other words, our entire being is meant to be in this state of virginity. Let us then focus. Let us focus on this idea of virginity as total dedication. This is really important, especially for our youth as they are growing up and discovering what they can do with their time and what they can do with their freedom, with their choices. What they can make good choices or bad choices. How much of your time, how much of your interests, how much of your attention is dedicated to the Lord? So I shouldn't just be asking or standing before God and focusing on the fact that I'm denying myself certain things, certain red lines that I don't cross. But I should be asking myself the other question: how much more can I give to the Lord? How much more of myself can I dedicate to him? You know, everybody here has an iPhone. Your phone tells you once a week, at least mine does. Maybe yours doesn't. If it doesn't, give it to me and I'll make sure it does. It gives you a report every week how much time, hours and minutes you've spent on the phone. Mine doesn't. Look at that once a week and think about it. Maybe it says 1 hour, maybe an hour and a half the entire week. Maybe it says 3-4 hours.
A day.
And think about that seriously. That is part of who you are. That is part of what God gave you, the time that God gave you. And have you dedicated it to be with the Lord in a state of virginity? Or have you dedicated it to something else? Whatever it is that is attracting your attention there. That is just a very mundane and kind of almost silly example to just give you the idea of what it means to be in full state of virginity. But the response of the Holy Virgin Mary today, kind of at the climax of this gospel message, is very important for us. And it's also very instructive if we want to understand the idea of freedom. Eventually, the Holy Virgin Mary responds and says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. It's as if the entire gospel was building up to this climax. What will the Holy Virgin say? What will be her response to this unprecedented and unexpected annunciation from the Archangel Gabriel? Of course, as any of us, the Holy Virgin Mary was a full human being, and as such, she was endowed with freedom. She could have said no. She could have declined this invitation to be a co-worker in our salvation and in her salvation as well. But the idea, we have to think about it a little bit more carefully. The word maidservant is a bit deceiving. It's one of those biblical words that, because it's so biblical and we don't use it in daily life, it sounds a little bit cleaned up. What it really is saying is servant, almost slave. I'm the slave of the Lord. I'm the servant of the Lord. Something that none of us in our daily interactions want to admit or to, not an identity we usually want to take. Nobody wants to say, I'm a servant, or I'm a slave even. But she's saying this, behold the maidservant of the Lord. But in doing so, she wasn't forfeiting her freedom. She wasn't forfeiting her ability to choose. In fact, she was raising herself up to a higher level of freedom. True freedom is to choose that for which God has created me in the first place. My eternal purpose in His eyes before I was born. That is His plan for me, and for me to realize this and to take it on and to embrace it. There is no truer freedom than that. Again, once again, we often misunderstand and misinterpret the idea of freedom in our lives. And once again, especially as youth, as we grow and we gradually start to acquire freedom in our life, we often misunderstand what that means. We think freedom means having all the options. We think freedom means I can do whatever I want and I can always say yes to everything. Essentially, freedom means I'm game for whatever is offered to me. Whatever pleasure, whatever idea, whatever choice I have in front of me, that's freedom. One of the kind of funny coincidences of history, and that will give you an idea of what it means to be truly free. The Feast of the Annunciation on the Gregorian calendar falls on March 25th. That also happens to be the official day that Greece announced its revolution from the Ottoman Turks, March 25th. And so until this day, and especially since 1923, when the Greek Orthodox Church adopted the Gregorian calendar, now every year, the Feast of the Annunciation, when the Holy Virgin Mary said yes to the angel, coincides with the Greek Independence Day, when they said no to the Turkish yoke. And it's serious, and it's called in Greek Ohi Day, No Day, the day of no, the day of saying no. And it's celebrated, and so that gives a very appropriate and very ready-made sermon to any Greek Orthodox bishop or priest, because on the day of the Annunciation, when they preach about the Annunciation to the Holy Virgin Mary, they can speak about freedom. They can speak about liberation from bondage, from slavery to the Ottomans. And so in the same way, we don't want to think of freedom as simply saying yes, but as the opposite side of that coin. Freedom is also, I am free to say no. I am free to not enslave myself. I am free, and I can say no to being enslaved to my passions, no to being enslaved to my desires and my ambitions, no to being tossed to and fro by the winds of change, by whatever societal pressures, by whatever social restrictions or pressures that are on me to conform and adopt identities that are not in conformity with my Christian identity. And let us then say yes. Say yes to living a life of purity. Yes to a life of dedication to God. Yes, a life of freedom. And ultimately, yes to bringing the Incarnation into our lives, bringing the Incarnation through our actions into our homes, into our families, into our works, and into all of our relationships. And when we do that, we can be this free will, freedom gift that we offer to God out of our own freedom. And when God looks at us, when heaven looks at us in that state of freedom and purity, we too can be a wonderful and novel and strange mystery, just like the miracle of the Incarnation itself. To God be glory now and ever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.